as soon as that happens.
Log Talk Radio.
And this is where that's going to pop up.
Right.
And at first, that's what I wanted to show you. It doesn't show that it's playing. I've tried to disconnect it several times. So as soon as you click it, you can start again.
Yeah, that's what I had to do last night. Was click
I don't
twice.
Know. I've checked the button that turns it off.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get in a little deeper and check some more buttons.
Well, we both know to start it and stop it.
So, good morning, everybody. That was just a little bit of instruction to a fellow laborer, co-laborer, that's just kicking it, doing it. It is Sunday morning. Has anybody come to the reality yet that this is the last day of July?
Can you believe it? I've come to the reality when the flies start clinging to you.
Will you do me one more favor? Reach my power cord right there so that I don't run out of juice. How you can carry a power cord simply and lay it down. It must be that power cords are like snakes. Look back here. It's like power cords are like snakes. I don't know. No, I better be quiet. I'm not going to say those words. So welcome, everybody. We're glad to have you with us today. For those of you that haven't seen us much lately, we're still here. And we want you to be here with us. Those of you that's with us on Blog Talk Radio, welcome. We're going to go live on YouTube also. Get everybody up and running so we can have a good word here today. There we go. Got some light on the subject. Just like that. And this is our Sunday morning studio. We got a lot of different studios. I'm going to add some more, too.
There's many studios.
And we're glad to have you with us. It's been an interesting journey these last 2 years and what God's been doing with us here. And he's going to do greater things. And I heard Dr. Barclay make a statement this morning. I listen to Dr. Winston because he comes on at 7. And then Dr. Barclay comes on at 11?
Nine.
That's always trying to go the wrong way there. He comes on at 9. So we usually get two good messages first thing on a Sunday morning. Everybody's got their own preachers. Just please make sure you're listening to a preacher that has not got his head stuck in the sand or stuck in some liberal philosophy or theology. He'll walk with God. The pastor made a statement this morning that really, really just sets so many things in order and helps us with the doctrines of this day that want to destroy us. Because there's no doctrine of the devil that's older than what he said to Eve in the garden. And it's everywhere. It's the same doctrine. What do we got, love? Can I help you? So, in this day that we live, every single one of us are seeing people and things that used to be so solid no longer be solid. Have you noticed that lately? That there are people who once seemed to have a solid foundation, and they don't have it.
They do not have it.
sometimes what happens to us comes from, well, it all comes from the devil, because it's steal, kill, and destroy. Some of it is an attack of other people. Somebody else did you wrong, failed you, didn't come through. Sometimes it's your own choice that makes you go astray. And it messes your life up. And, you know, what's amazing through all of that is God's hand. And the statement he made, that is one of them great statements, is if you've messed your life up, I have hit the same button you hit last night and just made everything disappear.
Isn't that something?
And what did you do?
Escape.
Escape.
Did it come back?
Thank God for the escape button.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of guys in prison this morning saying, "Where is it at, Pastor?" That was a good joke. That was a really good. I did.
Reading.
I did really good on that. If you have messed your life up, let's say it this way. If you've been chasing God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not chasing your neighbor as yourself, that was a good one too. And life has happened. Sometimes it takes a while for life to sort out all those things that's going on and get your feet back on the rock. That's just life. And let's, what every one of us have to say, because who knows who all we're talking to. Whether you made a dumb decision, whether somebody else made a dumb decision, whether it's just the politicians that have made dumb decisions and we're all reeling from the effect of that decision, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are or what's going on in your life. There's nothing you can do except say, today, July 31st, this is where I am. And you might be like, I didn't want to be here, Pastor. Well, yeah. I wouldn't think any of us wanted to be in the middle of COVID, the pandemic. But it doesn't matter. Life isn't about what's happened to you. Life's about how you handle what happens to you. And learning to conquer in every one of those places in life. Boy, this is a long trip around a barn. So those of you that receive from us regularly, and you've been like, lately you've been like, where are you guys at? Because we were faithful to just be here every day, every time. Well, in the matter of the last 3 years, we've had situations that's gone on. And we've had to deal with things that's been going on in our lives. And so in the last 2 months, 6 months, whatever it's been, we've had opportunities come to us and things happen. And so we're both, Leanne and I are both working a job. All right. And I encourage you that no matter how difficult it may seem to be to you to gather together the pieces of what in the world happened in 2020, I was kind of enjoying 2019 all right, and things were moving, and we had a good president, and America was changing, and what's wrong with this world? Let's get it back to where it was. Somebody just hit that button and make it all right. Well, 7.5 billion people in the world. There's millions of them making decisions every day to destroy this world. And the only way that gets stopped is that those of us who don't want the world destroyed come together more powerfully in agreement and unity and put the world together, not tear the world apart.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you today that no matter where you find yourself, I'm okay. All right, just say no. No matter where you find yourself today, you're going to be all right. But the greatest factor of you're going to be all right is you've got to keep God in your life at the top of your life.
Amen.
No matter what.
Amen.
No matter what. No matter what. I never have coveted to work 24 hours a day all at the same time. You know, 1 hour after another. Mm-hmm. I just never coveted. I like sleep. I just don't like a lot of it. I don't know if I got some form of a wish that I didn't know I wished or what. But I've worked a lot of 24-hour days in this last month. Why are you telling us that, Pastor? So we'll go, oh, poor Pastor. No. I'm helping you find me. I've been real easy to find for the last 2 years. I was here every day, morning and night. I'm helping you find me and be connected with this word that we're preaching, because every one of you that's connected to us are a partner with us in one form or another. And let me say this with you. You're never going to hear me come to you and say, give me money now. I'm not that. I'm never going to do that. If God tells me to come and receive an offering from you so we can go do something in God, I will do that. But you know, I'm never going to come and say, give me an offering for me. I'm never going to do that. And any preacher that does that, I won't make that statement because I'm not God, but God might tell a preacher to do that sometime. But. So every time I talk about giving and receiving, I want you to get in your mind, this is the very core of all the earth. It's Genesis chapter 8. And this isn't the word I'm going to speak, but I got to go here. Genesis chapter 8. You guys know what verse it is, don't you? Just turn there automatically, you know. 20 through 22. I am here in your life to help you stabilize anything that's unstable and then learn to your spirit, your soul, your body, your mind, your will, your emotions, your mind, your mouth, your ministry, your marriage, your money. God wants all of that in order. And my place in your life is the voice of God saying, look at this word. From this day forward, you ain't never going to hear me say, put your Bible down and pick up Brother Charlie's book. I'm going to tell you, put Brother Charlie's book down and open up your Bible. Because when you stand before Jesus, you're only going to be judged by one book, and that's the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. How do we find you, Pastor? I'm turning to Genesis 8. I just need to know how to find you. Come to Williston and call us because this is where we are. No. For those of you that's been a part of us for a long time and you really want to continually be a part of us, we are on Zoom every day. Okay? Every day we're going to be there. You're welcome to come be a part of it. You don't have to talk. We don't have to see you on the camera. You can mute your mic and mute your camera and never say a word. And that's fine for you to be here with us. I don't put that out for the whole world to see because that makes a big mess, and that's a private room for us. But you are, any of you who are our partners and want to continually connect with us every day, you're welcome to come and be a part of that. And we have a messenger thread that we can add you to, and then you'll always know what's going on there. Make sure you click like and subscribe and hit the bell. So that as soon as we put one out public, you have the ability to say, there they are, and come be a part of it. I am a man of God. That's who I am. What I do is I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my calling. That's my grace. So my place in your life is not to just be your friend, although I will be your friend, and hopefully you'll be mine. My place in your life is not to just hang out, roast marshmallows, and eat hot dogs, although I like that too. My place in your life is a spiritual leader that will open this word, because I have been trained to be a leader in the household of faith and lead you into a personal, wonderful, amazing, deep, satisfying, all-completing relationship with our Father God. I'm going to teach you the doctrines of the church. I'm going to give you line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm going to continually say, get this right and that right and do this. That's what I'm going to do. But the greatest responsibility I have in God is to teach you to have a relationship with the Father. Why? Because as soon as I teach you, as soon as you grasp this, that you get to be one with the Father, it'll put every deceptive voice, you'll shut them down, just bam. You won't put up with them, because you'll say, no, that's not the voice of my Father. Crush, and you'll stop it just like that. And that, in this last day, Jesus said the worst part of this last day is deception. Because I didn't ever care what kind of weird, dumb, stupid, ignorant doctrine you want to believe. There's 8 million people on Facebook that will agree with you. And now you got 8 million people saying, well, this is really true, but I got a word for you. If this Bible says it's not true, all 8 million of them people are going to get their butt kicked. No. That's old biker way to say. All 8 million of those people are going to be judged severely by God, and they may miss eternity with the Father. It's serious. This is life and death. This is blessing and cursing, and God said, choose life. Now, I sent you to Genesis chapter 8. Check it out. You ready? Should we make our confession?
Yes.
Here we go. Pulled your Bible off. Wait, we got all the oil off my elbow. Oh. Aren't you glad somebody works in the oil field so you got gasoline to drive in your car? Here we go. Make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
Is making this word come alive.
Is making this word come
alive. In my life today.
In my life today.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a
in
seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Ready? Say this. I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I am in direct communication with God my Father.
I am in direct communication with God my Father.
And by the Holy Spirit.
And by the Holy Spirit.
He leads and instructs me.
He leads and instructs me now.
And I receive.
And I receive.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus. Genesis.
Amen.
Chapter 20. No. Genesis chapter 8. Verse 20, watch this. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. That's a good thing. Because the ground was cursed for Adam. And he had to go with the sweat of his brow and great toil to make it. God said, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of his heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. And then here comes one of the greatest verses in all the Bible to tell you who God is. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. This is a foundation principle the whole earth is built on. If you'll take all of this weird green energy, green stupidity of all the earth, all your electric cars and electricity and all that stupid stuff that ain't going to work anyways, what is it? Global warming, in my day as a child, global freezing, it was all going to freeze over. If you'll run all of that through this one verse, you'll trash all of it as just garbage and keep moving. Because that's all it is just garbage. Why? Because this is a foundation. This is Noah after the ark. The earth's been here 1,000 years because people on that, Adam lived to be 1,000, Methuselah 1,000. You know, these men lived 1,000 years, so... The earth has been here 1,000 years, and their heart was bad. They kept serving the enemy. So God destroyed everything. And of all the people on the earth at that period of time, he only found 8 who would listen to him. And he preserved them. And they come out, and they made a sacrifice. And this is the very basic foundation of all of the earth. As long as this earth remains, there's going to be seed, time, and harvest. Sow a seed. Give it some time, water it, tend it, keep it, and there'll be a harvest. That's everything. That's not just a Pentecostal preacher saying, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy. If you sow, you're going to reap, buddy. It's the truth. But the enemies used a bunch of those people that did it wrong to make people gun shy of the words seed, time, and harvest. But don't be gun shy. Everybody knows you plant a tomato seed, you get a tomato plant, and on that tomato plant will be many tomatoes. And everybody knows if you plant 10 tomato plants in your garden, you better have lots of friends because you're going to have so many tomatoes that you ain't going to know what to do with them. And if you're smart like my mama and my grandma, like your mama and grandma, you'll can them, and you'll have 1,800 torts of potatoes and cans of tomatoes and carrots and everything else in there. And you'll have more than enough food for years. They were very wise people. And what are we dependent on? What do we do if Walmart doesn't have it? God help us. As long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time, harvest, cold and heat. You're not going to get away with winter and summer. I don't care how smart Bill Gates thinks he is, he can't change the season. Try it, Elon Musk. Mr. Biden, you think you're all that in a bucket of honey? Change the season. No, you're a mere human given a position to lead and bless and care for, not destroy people. Your hearts are wicked. You want to manipulate and control population and wipe out whole groups of people. Don't do that. You can't change winter and summer. You can't change day and night. Try to stop the day. It's the greatest force that proves there's a God. I don't care who you are. Muhammad, stop the day. He can't do nothing. He's dead. Krishna's dead. All of them are dead. Jesus isn't dead. So if we get this one factor, you can tell I'm not preached enough lately because I got an edge and I'm ready to go. Anyways, if you get this one factor inside of your system, and let it be a controlling factor of all of what you believe about God and this world, and you run it through this verse, This is going to change a lot of the stupidity of this day and cause you to grow and develop in God. You ready? Sow a fight with your mate and you're going to have strife. Right? What? You're sowing a seed. Sow a bunch of debt in your life and what are you going to have? The borrower is servant to the lender. It doesn't matter what that seed is you sow. You're going to reap a harvest of it. The Bible says that's going to take me off. So I'm going to stay here. Hebrews. Hebrews. Hold on. It's coming. Just a little slower than normal. Hebrews chapter 12. You'll notice that the title today is Serve God. You'll notice that the title today is Serve God with Reverence and Godly Fear. Now you might be like, God wants me to be afraid of him? Not one day. Hey, Brother Roger, welcome. Rebecca, welcome. Mary Pastor Rick, welcome. Kathy Angaroni, welcome. Brother Dan, welcome. That's the ones I see. If you're here somewhere and I haven't mentioned your name and you'll put it up there, we'll say hi to you too. Hebrews 12. And let's read, wow. There's just, don't you love when you open up the Bible and you're like, oh, that's a good verse. And I want to add that one too. But so I'm going all the way back to 22, and we're going to read through 29. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
Somebody put a message on in the family thread and tell everybody we're here. Oh, y'all show up for church now, would you? Watch this. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. That's pretty cool. When we become a Christian, when we begin walking with God, we come to the city of the living God. Woo!
What an amazing thought.
Yeah. The heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. We ain't using them angels good enough. We got to learn how to use them. They're our ministering spirits. That's not my message, although I could preach right now for a long time on it. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Now, anybody's been around the church, you've seen it. We're now going to have the general assembly. And we all gather in a big building and everybody that's like us comes. And we all of a sudden we realize we're all dressed alike. We all look alike. We all wear the same ties, got the same haircut. And you're like, what kind of a deal is that? All right. It's not the general assembly of the Assemblies of God. All right.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca.
She said, I'll do it. She did.
Love you, Rebecca. I love this. To the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn who are registered in heaven. We are registered in heaven. Your name is registered as the General Assembly and the Firstborn of heaven. Your name. Say it. My name is registered in heaven.
My name is registered in heaven.
I'm in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
To God, the Judge of all. To the spirits of just men made perfect. That means everybody throughout history that fought the fight, lived their life, and made it, they're all there. I like Brother Jesse's story of going to heaven. He got to talk with Paul and David, Peter. People are like, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus.
And he did.
I want to see Jesus. But I also want to see Paul and Peter. Because right now we're reading Paul, what Paul wrote and took 150 stripes on his back for this gospel. Look at 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Oh, thank you, Jesus. To the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. Jesus shed his blood once and for all. And because he did, you and I get to live in that blood every day. When you wake up in the morning, make it one of the first things you say every day is, I am covered by the blood, and everything I'm going to get done today is because Jesus shed his blood for me. I ain't nothing without the blood. But with the blood, I'm everything. Now, I'm almost to my verse that I started to, but just 28. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Notice that that him is capitalized. My pen goes. Thank you, bro. Notice that him is capitalized. That's not talking about me or any other preacher. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. That's God by the Spirit inside here. For if they did not escape, he refused him who spoke on earth. How much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? And where does he speak? He speaks right in here inside of us. See, this is why I say my place in your life, the greatest thing I'll ever be to you is to teach you to have a relationship with the Father. Because if you have a relationship with the Father, his, once you get your ear, and it's not this ear, it's the inner ear here. Once you get your inner ear tuned to his voice, you'll never follow another voice into deception another day. Not another day. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, I'm having trouble hearing him. The thing you always say is, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. I'm his sheep, and I'm hearing his voice, and I follow him, and you just say it every day. And when you get done saying it, you might say, now, Father, help me see this. Help me hear this. And then what's he going to do? He's going to give you an assignment. He's going to say, I want you to go do this. Why? He's testing whether or not you're going to hear his voice and go do it. When you obey, then you're, that clarity comes. Clarity. He's not going to give you a huge, big thing that's going to change the whole world, your first act. He's going to say, well, don't go to the grocery store. Go to the post office first. You'd be like, no, I wanted to go to see what you're doing. You're arguing with him. Now, all he's doing is teaching you to hear his voice and follow his direction. Think about your mom and your dad when you were little, if you had a good one. I want you to go to the shed and pull out the mower, make sure you check the oil and put some gas in it and mow the grass. Mow it this way, not this one. Maybe you ladies cooking. What you're going to do first is you're going to get out the pan, you're going to put it on the stove, you're going to turn on the burner, then you're going to put some butter in the pan, and then you're going to... And what were they doing? They were teaching us all the steps, one step at a time. Well, that's the way our Father's going to be with us every day. If you see him as your Father, that's how he's going to be with you every single day. But if you only see him as church on Sunday, you're only going to think the importance of God in your life is on Sunday at church when you're sitting with your hymnal, hallelujah, glory be to God, and you all look the same, act the same, do the same, and it's wrong to go to church. That's what we're doing right now. You got to assemble together all the more as you see the day approaching. And a lot of churches are meeting less, not more. So look at what this verse says. See that you do not refuse him who speaks to you. For they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. How much more shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? What is the greatest form of speaking from heaven? The word of God. This is his holy word. this book right here in the hands of people since 1200, 1400, when it was made, has caused billions of people to be able to go to heaven. In every nation, language, people are like, well, you got to read the King James 1611. I got a word for you. The Spanish is not King James 1611. The French is not going to have these and thous. That's English. The Swahili is not translated with these and thous. Swahili is a clucking language. How do you put a TH on that? Now, see, that's just man building a doctrine out of something stupid. Verse 26, whose voice shook the earth. But now he's promised, saying, yeah, once more I'll shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Heaven and earth both are going to shake when God moves. 27, now this, yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken and of those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Well, you know what? This earth can quake and fire can consume it, but what can't be shaken is you are a child of God and are going to live for eternity with him. Amen. That cannot be shaken. Now look at 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, where is the kingdom? The kingdom is within you. Luke chapter 11. Somewhere in there. Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. Don't run here or there saying the kingdom's in here. Why? This is where the king lives. And you are a king and a priest unto God. See, that's why this is so important that we meet every time we get an opportunity to meet and just make our whole life and schedule get right around the word of God, because we're going to stand before God and give an account for this word. And you can tell him, well, you know, I had to go down to the cottage and I had to lay on the beach and lay in the grass and lay on the couch. You can tell God you had a lot of stuff to do. And he's going to say, and why didn't you include me in every bit of it?
Amen.
Right? Nothing wrong with a boat, a house, a yard, a garden. There ain't nothing wrong with any of those hobbies that you have. But you got to get God in the middle of it. And you can't let it keep you from being in God.
Amen.
28, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for God is a consuming fire. This is the statement for today. Let us have grace. This whole grace doctrine is so far out of whack in the day we live. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. You mean I've got to find an acceptable way to serve God?
Yep.
Look at what it says. With reverence and godly fear. There's a whole lot of people like, oh, God don't care how I act, what I say, how I say it. He don't care how I dress, how I live. He's just, God's my bud. And God's just going to stand alongside of me and just let me be whatever I want to be. And then he'll stand there and say, I just love you. No, not one place in all of the Bible do you see God saying, it don't matter. Be whatever you want. I'll just come stand alongside of you because you're the big king and I'm the little one. He said, do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Do not stand in the way of the sinner. What's that mean? That means come out from among them and be a separate. Not weird, not strange, not peculiar. He called you peculiar, but don't be some weird duck that you look stupid, you act stupid, and you are stupid. Don't do that. But there is a difference. You should be concerned how you look. Mm-hmm. It's not that God doesn't love you if your hair is messed up. He just wants your hair to be combed. Well, God, if God don't love me like I am, he does love you like you am. And he loves you enough to say, I want you to look good. I want you to sound good. I want you to act good. I want you to be good so that somebody else looking on at your life will say, I want to be like them.
Yeah.
If you look like a disheveled mess and there's no order or orderliness about you, who's going to want to be like you?
Mm-hmm.
No, wait. I'm going to use an example of myself, right? Because it's like right now today, we're sitting here in our apartment, and we love this apartment. We walked in this apartment 4 years ago and have never moved. We just like it. Now we're ready for a house and a garden and some pigs. No, not pigs. And chickens and ducks and goats or whatever. But it's like me sitting here right now. I can see into the bedroom, and for some ungodly reason, when I got out of bed, I did not make my bed.
Oh, and I never.
And it is just either. Like, it's just bugging the fire out of me the whole time I'm sitting there, because when I look up, there it is. Like, you didn't make your bed. You didn't make the bed. You didn't make the bed. Is God got an angel that reports to heaven, their bed's not made? No. What is it? It's learning to be orderly, because the more order you have, the more blessing comes. The more order you have, the more God can bring things to you. How's he going to bring you a blessing if you don't have any order? Pastor, I don't know how to get things in order. Just start. Just start. When you see something out of order every day, I'm fixing that now. And just get that one little piece and put it in order. I like to see it this way. When I walk across this parking lot, if there's a piece of garbage laying on the ground, I pick it up. Why? I'm ordering my life. And that's my parking lot for my garage, and I'm going to pick it up, and it's going to look orderly. I can let it go. And all these sloppy pigs around us, they're going to let it go too. What are you doing? You are bringing order to your life, and God sees it. And the more order you bring, the more order he brings. Mm-hmm. See, look what it says.
Amen.
Verse 28. By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. See, all of a sudden, you got to put this word reverence in there and say, what does that mean? That means to revere. Or hold in high esteem. So that means there is a level that we have to come up to. There is a level we have to come up to. There is a place of excellence and growth and development that we got to get to. God is requiring that of every one of us. And anyone who begins to teach from a pulpit that says, oh, God don't care how you act. Just live however you want to. Grace has got you covered. It's all good. It's all happy. Jesus is just happy. Jesus is just, it's all just lovey-dovey, happy, happy. No. God does not like sin. God cannot bless people who sin. Remember what he said? We've seen it in the Read the Word. He told Israel, you are whoring after other gods. Remember how many times he said that? And he called it spiritual adultery. Now think about this. They're setting something else up in their life as their God, and they're bowing to it and giving it reverence and giving it glory and lifting it up above all things. And God called that spiritual adultery. Well, in the book of Proverbs, it says, he who commits adultery uproots all his harvest. But did you notice that it didn't say which adultery? It just says, he who commits adultery uproots his harvest. Well, if you've been going to church and there's a man or woman of God been sowing the word, 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 What are they doing? They're sowing a seed to produce a harvest. That's our confession when we start. But if you commit adultery humanly or spiritual adultery, chasing after other gods, you're uprooting that harvest that you have established. And you'll stand around saying, why does none of this work? Well, look at your actions. See what that says? Serve God acceptably. That means there is a way to serve God unacceptably. Well, that's not really what this means, Pastor. No, that's exactly what this means. Now watch. Let's confront that statement that you just made. Pastor did this morning. And I'm like, check that out. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, this is verses 1 through 19. Everybody pause just a second. Sunday Guys is with us.
Good morning, Sunday.
I had to stand up and move just a little bit. I know I usually just sit in front of the camera, just hold still. I don't ever move my arms or anything. But watch this. Blueberries. I'm getting ready to head out into the prairie, into the oil field. And Sister Leanne has blueberries. Genesis chapter 3. Now look at this. I wish I had an hour to preach on this right here. And maybe I'll just start my phone and preach this afternoon while I'm doing this. Which is, it's what's coming. You guys, we're used to 3 hours a night and an hour and a half at noon. But I'm fixing to bring you a half an hour often all through the day. Because I'm just going to turn my camera on while I'm going from well to well. That's actually going to be about 12, 13 minutes. And I'm going to make video after video because being in the Word, I've not stopped being who I am. I'm just in a different situation. And I've taught you for quite a while now, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And all of a sudden, I see Father doing this over here, and I got to go do this. And there's been a whole lot of this going. Scratch, 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 but it's all right. God's in this. Watch this. Blueberries. Genesis chapter 3. Listen to what the serpent says. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God really said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Let me tell you what that sounds like in 2022. God really said you don't have to tithe. No, wait. Has God really said that the Bible is really the infallible word of God? That comes out of preachers' mouths today who have huge television ministry. Has God really said that you can't sin and that you have to just live holy, holy, holy? See, it's the same demonic indoctrination. And what is it? You can see it. This is the beginning of time. The enemy, I don't even want to give him a title. The enemy was saying to Eve, is that really what God said? Did he really mean that? Did God mean what he said to Adam and Eve? Yeah. Was it so severe he drove them out of the garden? The third page of your Bible, God shows you how serious he is about his way. It's called order. It's called God's way. It's called blueberries. They're delicious. how big these babies are.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Let's keep reading. Has God really said you can't eat of every tree? The woman said, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. But see, he didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat it. The serpent said to the woman, you will not die. See, that's what's going on today. You can drink. You can party. Grace covers you on all of that. You don't have to tithe. Going to church and gathering with the body is not important. See, it's the same voice, and it's talking today. Wait, Adam and Eve, they didn't have anybody else on the face of the earth to compare to. It was Adam, it was Eve, and a whole lot of animals. That was it. Can you imagine what this earth felt like with just two people on it? We got a lot of exploring to do. Verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Yeah. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Yep. Yep. That's exactly the case. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. So the three greatest places of temptation anybody's going to face right there. She took of the fruit and ate. And she gave it to her knucklehead husband who was standing there not saying, spit that out, Eve. Stop listening to that snake. Remember Jesus? Jesus was walking down the road saying, who do men say that I am? Well, some say the prophet, some say Jeremiah, I am. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, well, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to start suffering. I'm going to be crucified. Peter literally grabs Jesus and starts shaking him. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. And that's what Adam and Eve should have said. And listen, God was with them. And God is in you and me. What are you saying, Pastor? It doesn't make a difference how big, how fancy, how rich, how long, how many nations of the world a ministry is in, if they're telling you, that's not what the Bible says. Did God really say that? You are going to have to learn how to shut those voices down so that you can be in the right place with God. There's a big old mess. Another great leader is falling about with tithing. It's literally falling in front of the whole world about tithing and about grace. Sad. Why? Go with me back to Hebrews now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. There's the grace message. Is grace important for the enemy? Yeah. But grace doesn't give you license to sin. Grace doesn't give you license to just go live however you want. Grace is God's empowering presence to live in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and be found in him. Let us have grace by which we may serve God. Look at this word, acceptably. That means there's a way to serve him unacceptably. I know. I can hear some of you. Pastor, you're making me think I'm going to have to become a student and study this. Yes, because you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, why don't you know this? I put somebody in your life that taught you this every single day. And check your teeth after eating blueberries, they get stuck. I don't usually preach and eat at the same time. I'm just thinking about these blueberries, and I know I'm going to have to go, and I like them.
I'll send some with you. Many.
What time is it? Time to go, isn't it? Serve God acceptably. Now, some of you, I can tell, are saying, well, I feel like Jesus. Why are you reasoning amongst yourself? Because that's who we are. Don't ever feel bad that while a preacher is preaching that you're reasoning amongst yourself. Oh, yeah. Wow. If you were here when I'm studying Dr. Barclay or Dr. Winston on Sunday morning, you'd be like, you really just do that. Because we do it all the time. Wow, look at that. Woo, he said it right there. Why? Because that's how powerful it is and when the Holy Spirit is talking to our life. If that verse says you got to serve God acceptably, then that means there is a way to serve God that is unacceptable. No, that means that there is an unacceptable process and that will be considered not serving God. That's an interesting statement. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. He brought a sacrifice, but it wasn't accepted. And people, you know, the devil's doctrine of today that is stumbling many people is the doctrine that says, well, that's Old Testament, and this is the New Testament. And I don't have to do that, and they don't have to do that. We're not doing this. No. Open up this Bible. Find the app for your phone and search up every verse that speaks about that subject. And I guarantee you, whether you are a philosopher or a theologian or have any Bible college training at all, if you'll just look up the word redemption and read every verse about redemption and believe it, you will know what the Bible says about redemption. Why? Because the God of redemption lives within you. Get him out of, he's a great God in the sky with a big club going to pound you if you do wrong. Get out of that. He is your Father, and he lives within you. And see, now it all changes, because you won't be able to look at God and say, well, Pastor Sam taught me wrong. Nope. You won't be able to look at any preacher and say, well, they taught me wrong. God's going to say, did you have a Bible? Yeah. Did the preacher show you how to study my word? Yes. Then do it. See, all it is just personal accountability, where we got to look at ourselves and say, wait a minute. I can't blame anybody for what's in my life. I got to take responsibility of myself, my life, my being, and become everything that the Father wants me to become. And then you realize that we, the church, the body of Christ, the governing body of authority, then you realize all of us are here to help you accomplish and conquer in much. Because God ain't sitting still. God's trying to win the whole world to him right now. And the problem is Christians are sitting still saying, no, no, I just want grace. I just want grace to cover it. And I want to live however I want to. And I want God to be happy with it. And he's not going to be happy. That's not acceptable. You got to walk with him. He's not got a club, but he's going to keep bringing you back to that same place. And you're going to say this. You're going to stare the same thing in the eye. You're going to go around the mountain this way, and there it's going to be. You're going to go up the mountain and back down, and there it's going to be. Why? Because he's going to say, deal with this issue. And as soon as you deal with it, it opens up a whole new part of God. And when he says, now you got this issue, deal with it. Woo! And then it opens up a whole new part of God. So you and I begin to learn to say, Father, wait, what's stopping me? I want to see what's stopping me right now. Bam, I'm going to deal with it. It'll be crushed out of the way, and look at what life's going to show me. Because every step in God opens up a new level of blessing, a new level of grace, a new level of strength, a new understanding, a new victory. But when you say, I don't know, I can't know, I won't know, it's not know, what do? You shut down, you shut down, you shut down, you shut down. And then all you do is you're just a sounding voice of, oh, we're all happy and Jesus is Lord. And let's just all be happy and Jesus is Lord. Everybody has got something to conquer. And yes, be happy. And yes, Jesus is Lord. But you got to conquer in the mighty name of Jesus. And this is one of those verses that needs to be up on the wall. Serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Nobody can tell you how to live your life daily. No great leader is going to get in your car and follow you around all day long. I tried to get Pastor to do that, but he just wouldn't do it. I don't know what his problem was. Nope. You got to live your life. I got to live mine. And the more of us that come together and see the truth and live and walk in it, the more powerful the force is of who we are and how much we can get accomplished in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for being our partners and our friends. This message is available on YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live. I encourage you to listen to it over and over. Begin to search some verses up on it. Study it. Dwell in it. Live in it. So that your life can grow, develop, expand, be blessed, have strength, and God Almighty move in every part of you. Is this a good word for today? Now, Pastor was teaching a completely different word. When he read that verse, I'm like, there it is. Serve God acceptably. That means there's a way to not serve him. That means there's some things that are unacceptable. And we got to look at ourselves and bring it in. That's enough. Circle the wagons. Time to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this 1 hour of faith. I bless every one of my brothers and sisters that are here today. I bless the body of Christ, the ecclesia, your governing body of authority on this earth. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless you, man. Help every one of us to go to a new level in you. A new level of grace, new level of mercy, new level of empowerment, and new level of walking with you close, reaching everybody around us for you. We pray this in your mighty name. We pray this according to the holy word of God. We pray this by the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that you're on the inside of us, helping us walk with you every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Let's go. Let's receive our communion element. Those of you that's with us, you know we always receive communion. And we do it every time we come together. That was the assignment that the Holy Spirit gave. I believe it's one of the most powerful forces of the whole world. So, I'm going to read the verses, then we're going to pray a prayer of salvation. No matter who you are, you'll be right with God. Then we'll bless the elements. I'll give you about 2 minutes of teaching, and then we will receive them together. That's how we do it. It takes about 10 to 12 minutes. You'd be like, yeah, but pastor, in the church I go to, it only takes a minute. I don't think that you are getting on the inside of you the importance of it. You and I are going to say in just a minute, we're going to say the blood of Jesus about 15 times. Do you know why? Because the blood of Jesus drives off our enemy in such a powerful way. I need your lips to learn to start taking that blood and using it as a weapon against the enemy. So what am I going to do? I'm going to lead you in that, in a prayer, so that that process is deep inside of your heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, his burial, his resurrection, till he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. You have to examine you by God's eyes, God's will, God's word. Let a man examine himself and then and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, that's Jesus, right now, as he is, not as he was, not as he will be, as he is, so are we in this world. He's the head, we're the body. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. When man judges you, and on the other side, when God judges us, we'll be able to have boldness. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear. And the torment that comes with it. Because There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Trauma, torment, I bind you in the name of Jesus from these people's lives. Be free. Just pick your hands up and say, I receive it. I'm free. Trauma will change your life. Trauma will change your life forever. So bind the effect of it. You can't change what happens to you. It's stuff. I mean, if you're a tither, that'll put some protection on you. When you hear about things that go on in the world, the depth of your trust in God is how much trauma it will affect you with. The more you love God and trust Him, the less it will have a traumatic effect on you. The more you trust in humans and human ways, the more traumatic it'll be when somebody gives you some bad news. Trust in God. Now, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. I want you to pray it with us. Verse 28 says, let a man examine himself. Well, it doesn't just mean examine yourself and say, well, yeah, I'm a mess, but God loves me anyways. He does love you, but you got to fix the mess. And you got to start walking with God every day of your life. So pray this prayer with me. And if you mean it from the depths of your heart, you'll be right with God and ready to receive communion. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kathy, for being with us. I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16. When I believe in you,
you
give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
I thank you for it.
Now be bold in this statement. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again just for me. Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your love and your
mercy. All of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life. I receive all the fullness of God.
I receive all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power. Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You pray that prayer from the depths of your heart, you are now right with God. You might say, Pastor, what's going on in the inside of me? I know I still experience it when I pray. Why? Because I mean it. I'm serious about this. Did you notice I didn't say, Lord, I lied, I cheat, I stole, I didn't do right, I was disobedient, and I wasn't good with my time. Did you notice we didn't say any of those things? Because to God, none of that is important. To God, what God wants to know is that you received Jesus. When you receive all of his love, mercy, and grace, and righteousness, all of that fills you. When all of that fills you, it drives out the other. Then automatically, you'll be like, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Every time a sin pops up, you're like, no, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I committed that. And you'll say, I put the blood on it. And he'll say, it's in the sea of my forgetfulness. I don't even remember. What? You received Jesus. You don't go to hell for the sin you commit. You go to hell because you didn't receive Jesus. As soon as you receive him, bam, he fills every part of your life and drives it all out by the nature of the infilling of God. If I take my coffee cup and I fill it with coffee, it doesn't matter. I can't put nothing else in it because the coffee cup's going to start spilling over. Right? Mm-hmm. So when you fill it with coffee, all the air that's in it will now move out. When you fill your life with his love, mercy, grace, and righteousness, whether or not you understand it, all the rest of it's got to go. And then your place is to function with us every day and help us teach you. Let us teach you. Every person is going to have a body of Christ to be connected to. People teach you all over. You don't have to go to church. It's not important in the day that we live. I'm going to tell you, you cannot make it in this world unless you're connected to the body of Christ.
Yep.
The body of Christ might not be that building on the corner. It might be this. But you must be protected. You must be connected to the body of Christ or you don't have the life flow. If I cut my finger off, that finger's only got so much time to get connected back on to receive the life of this body, or that finger will be dead and no longer useless. And it's no different than you and I. That's why you got to have the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And you've got to have the church. Not brick, stone, and a steeple. You got to have
Although
the church.
They're nice.
Although that's right. And that you might be one of those that's there. You might be one of those that's in this situation. But the church isn't about the building. That is a church building because the body of Christ meets there.
Yeah.
And if God's leading you to one and you drive by and you're like, I need to go in there. And you drive by again, I need to go in there. And you drive by it again, say, I need to go in there. Then that's where you got to get in there. Why? He's leading you by the inner witness. And then you got, once you show up, now you got to change. You got to grow, develop, and be blessed and strengthened. Get your roots down. That's why I say to you guys all the time, get your roots down here. Just be solid, be stable. The greatest stabilizing factor in my life, the greatest, number one greatest stabilizing factor of my life on this earth is I got the same pastor for 30 years. Same pastor. And there's not one spot in there where he wasn't my pastor. I put my tithe in the same ministry for 30 years. It's no shame for you if you can't say that. My point is get your feet in. Get your roots down. Say, that's it. I'm here. God is going to bless my life. And our place is to begin to show you the ways of God. I've gone to preaching again, and it's time to do communion. You guys in the studio audience, you got to hold the signs up better so I can see them. Now, you can find my email address and the website right down there in the notes of the program. On every one of our programs. Contact us. We'll begin to help you. We've got over 1,200 videos that we can send you to teach you the ways of God. We're going to do that together. Ready? Hold your elements up. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
You can pray it out loud if you want, Kathy. For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body. From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ and my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Let's receive his broken body together in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For who you are in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. Remember, as we receive these elements, very important that we see the reverence. This is Jesus' broken body. This is his blood that was shed. And we need to receive it with that level of reverence and holiness and glory. I know sometimes God speaks to us and moves in our life, and we've had times where we have laughed and done all kinds of different things, but that was in line with the Holy Spirit. Let's use great reverence as we do this today in Jesus' mighty name. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus. I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
And my robes are made white.
And my robes are made white.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
All things have become new. And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you, Father, for it.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
In the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over. And cannot be on me or my family. My conscience is purged. The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
I will always be. The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Let's receive his blood.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, let's sing. Let's sing a song together. Let's sing, What Can Wash Away My Sin? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, there we go, guys. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood known as the Community of Faith. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your blessing in our life right here every day. Thank you for each of these that are with us. We receive the abundant blessing of the Lord working in our lives every day in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for standing alongside of us and helping us get accomplished everything that we do. We truly, truly, truly love and appreciate you and your friendship and your partnership in our life. We are going to go on the radio in Kansas City. That's something that the Holy Spirit instructs you to sow into. Sow that seed. It's $29 a program. And there'll be 5 programs a week, 20 programs a month. That's a very simple partnership process. For $29, you can partner with us and pay for a whole day's worth of radio. You might say, that's a big seed, Pastor. No, it's not, because he gives seed to the sower. Then he blesses what you do. If that's something he's told you to do, then just do it. All right? I don't come on here and say, all right, now I need everybody to pay $29 for that. I'm just not, no. I'm not your God. God is. I'm going to put it in front of you and say, this is what we need to do. And we need to get this done and make it happen. But got to have more than just 1 month's worth of finances for it, because it takes a while for people's feet to catch up. And you and I have got to be obedient to God in that. So if that's something you want to do, we do. You can do that. Those of you who are with us and you consider this your church, there's Cash App and PayPal and all those different ways where you can send your tithe in. But don't just send money. Worship the Lord with your tithe. And you might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to do that. Send your tithe once. We'll send you a thank you. And in it will be a great confession you can make over your tithe.
And we make that confession.
And we make that confession over your tithe when you send it in. Or offerings, anything that you send. And it'll be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to you. Stay connected to us. Make sure you like and love and subscribe. Hit the bell for every one of our platforms so that anytime we go live, you're going to get it. Because I don't seem to have 3 hours in my day like I used to have. And it's coming back. It'll get there. We'll get it in order. But I do have 20-minute segments. And so you're going to begin to see me bringing to you 20-minute segments. And God will help us just create some playlists and different things that we can do with YouTube. And we're going to pump this gospel and help you walk with God until Jesus comes. Share this with anybody you want to share it with. Grow and develop your life. God will continually bring across your path people that need to know Jesus, which you know. And until we see you again, remember, we're only a phone call and a text away. We have a great thread where we as a family come together and pray for each other and stand in faith every day. And so any of this that you want to be a part of, make sure you communicate with us and say, Pastor, talk to me about what you got. We make no requirements of you that not just walk with God. People that hang with us and people who walk with God. And you might say, yeah, but I'm not walking with God like you. But I want to. As long as you want to. That's the important part, because your want to cause you to overcome anything else in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's all we got. Until we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. Everybody saying it with me? We love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Lord of your life. See you soon. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, God bless you. We'll see you soon. Keep the faith.